It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Weekend washout. Good afternoon. If your weekend plans have you outside, well, you may want to reconsider. A soaking rain will sock the region both Saturday and Sunday. Meteorologist Kevin Williams has that wet weekend forecast coming up. Better late than never. New York finally has a budget deal. Lawmakers will finalize the spending package next week. Governor Kathy Hochul.
I laid out a bold vision, a way to make New York safer, more affordable, and more livable. It's what I call the New York dream.
The New York dream comes with a hefty price tag. The $229 billion budget includes money for more charter schools, a hike in the minimum wage, and changes to the state's bail laws. The governor says judges need more discretion in keeping dangerous people behind bars.
They need to hold violent criminals accountable while still upholding our commitment to a justice system that is fair and also ensuring that poverty is never treated as a crime.
The budget also expands abortifacients on college campuses and includes a crackdown on illegal pot shops across the state. A new Gallup poll shows just 37% of Americans approve of the job President Biden is doing. That is his lowest approval rating since taking office and comes the same week he announced he's running for re-election. Yesterday, the mental acuity of the commander-in-chief came into question when he could not recall his last trip abroad during an event with children at the White House.
What was the last country you traveled to?
The last country I've traveled, I'm thinking what's the last one I was in. I'm trying to think, where was the last place I was? It's hard to keep track. You're right, Ireland. That's where it was. How'd you know that?
Democrats defend the president's mental fitness and ability to function as the leader of the free world.
It doesn't matter what your age is. What matters is what you can get done for working families across the United States. And I'm confident that Joe Biden, as a result of his record, will win.
I think his schedule reflects an active person, mentally and physically, who is engaging with the American people on a regular basis.
The president has yet to host a solo news conference this year, leading critics to wonder about his mental fitness. Former Vice President Mike Pence spent 7 hours yesterday testifying before a federal grand jury in Washington about his former boss, Donald Trump. It had everything to do with the tumultuous events surrounding January 6, 2021.
This is indeed probably the most significant witness and the most difficult witness to get into the grand jury. So one would think that the special counsel is very close to making his decision about whether to charge or not.
The grand jury is looking into whether the former president broke any laws in the certification of the 2020 presidential election. Mid-air collision. Two Apache helicopters crashed in Alaska Thursday, killing three Army pilots and injuring another. That crash happened about 10 miles north of Denali National Park, home to the tallest mountain in North America. The choppers were on their way back from a training mission when the deadly mid-air collision occurred. The White House is giving Americans 48 hours to get out of Sudan. That's when a fragile ceasefire ends between two warring generals.
There's active fighting in the streets. There's gunfire. You know, it is a war zone.
Brian Stern is on the ground in Sudan assisting in the evacuation.
This kind of war is the worst kind. You have two armed groups that are armed to the teeth with foreign support. That are well-trained, well-armed, and it's on their turf. So this is gearing up to be pretty bloody.
500 people have been killed, including at least two Americans, in 2 weeks of fighting in and around the capital, Khartoum. Russia fired more missiles into Ukraine today. 19 were killed in a series of attacks near the capital, Kyiv.
Death and destruction overnight, hundreds of miles from any active front line in the central city of Uman. We're covered in blood, wails a young mother. The children were sleeping here. It's good that everyone's alive. As she shows the burning crater outside, she swears at the Russians responsible. A number of young children are among the dead in a wave of pre-dawn attacks across the country.
Charlie Daggett reporting in less than 2 weeks, a public health rule that's been used to expedite deportations in this country will go away. The head of Homeland Security says without Title 42, they'll be using a different immigration tool called Title 8.
This is a longstanding immigration enforcement authority that multiple administrations, Republican and Democrat alike, have used to process individuals.
Alejandro Mayorkas does not expect a spike of illegal border crossings starting May 11th.
Those who arrive at our border and do not have a legal basis to stay will have made the journey only to be quickly removed.
At the southern tip of Texas, the city of Brownsville's already set up tents, tables, and portable toilets for migrant processing. The current surge is so intense that agents are coming from as far away as Laredo, about 200 miles from Brownsville. Parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa seeing their worst flooding in decades as the mighty Mississippi continues to spill her banks, inundating entire communities.
Up and down the Mississippi, it is a tale of widespread flooding.
In Gutenberg, Iowa, power is out due to all that water.
We've got about 20 inches of water in the basement. You're on the water, so you have to take the good with the bad.
The only way to some homes is by boat.
So I don't have any heat and I don't have any water, but it's like camping in an expensive house.
The Mississippi River is at its third highest flood stage ever recorded. The IRS is planning to hire 250 special agents who will carry guns and make arrests in all 50 states. On the agency's website, the Internal Revenue Service says those agents must, and we're quoting here, carry a firearm and be prepared to use deadly force, end quote. Those agents will be part of the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division. Some Minnesota lawmakers are pushing a bill that would put Minnesotans on a bias registry if they raise questions about COVID.
Bureaucrats at the Minnesota Department of Human Rights would have discretion to decide whether things are biased or not and should go into this government speech surveillance database.
That's Minnesota Representative Harry Neske. He calls the database a Soviet-style snitch line. He says if this law passes, Minnesotans who adhere to the lab leak theory as a plausible explanation for COVID would be subject to government surveillance. Kansas Republicans have voted to override their Democratic governor and her recent veto of a privacy protection law. That means starting the 1st of July, biological men can no longer use the women's restrooms in Kansas. That law also keeps the transgendered out of domestic violence shelters, rape crisis centers, and prisons. Michigan 7th grader Dylan Reeves is too young to drive, but he sprang into action anyway when his school bus driver passed out this week while behind the wheel. The superintendent describes what happened.
He jumped up from his seat, threw his backpack down, ran to the front of the bus, grabbed the steering wheel, and brought the bus to a stop in the middle of the road.
All the kids on the bus were A-OK. Way to go, Dylan. Target is taking steps to protect its stores from shoplifters. A number of stores in high-crime areas like California and New York are now locking up merchandise behind glass doors. You won't be able to buy stuff at those stores without the assistance from a Target employee. Quarterbacks were a popular pick in the NFL draft last night. The Carolina Panthers got to pick first, and they picked Alabama quarterback Bryce Young.
I'm still trying to process it in real time. I apologize, but it was just surreal. Hearing my name called is it's a huge blessing. It's a huge honor.
Three of the first four picks were QBs. The Buffalo Bills used their first pick to bolster their offense. They selected Utah tight end Dalton Kincaid. We'll have more sports with Randy coming up. Also ahead, PA parents' Bill of Rights. New York has a budget deal and how to stop the brain drain.
Good afternoon. The weekend is almost upon us, and it still looks to be often wet. Forecast Adels are up in 10.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, Kevin. It's a month late, but there's finally a deal to report on the New York State budget.
Governor Kathy Hochul announcing a conceptual agreement with the leaders of the state Senate and Assembly Thursday night. The $229 billion deal would allow judges more discretion to set bail for serious crimes. It would also boost the state minimum wage from $15 to $17 an hour over 3 years. Not included, Hochul's plan to add suburban affordable housing, tuition hikes at state universities, or a ban on menthol cigarettes. Legislators are expected to return to Albany Sunday to vote on the plan.
The budget calls for the opening of 22 new charter schools and gives cops new tools to go after illegal marijuana operations.
I said I'd make our state safer, more affordable, more livable for New Yorkers of today and tomorrow. Now that we're reaching the end of this process, I'm confident that's exactly what this budget delivers.
Republicans wanted a three-day waiting period to give residents more time to digest what's in the budget, which was the latest in 13 years in New York. Pennsylvania's drafting parental rights legislation. Republicans want to uphold the rights of families to make decisions about their children's education. Now, the basic thrust of the series of bills is to inform schools they cannot infringe on the rights of moms and dads when it comes to education, health care, and the overall upbringing of their kids. Border Patrol agents nabbed several illegal immigrants in western New York Thursday. Family Life's Dee Haley tells us how it all went down.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection reports that air and marine operations were on a routine patrol when they spotted three people jumping off a freight train on the international bridge at Unity Island in Buffalo yesterday. They were followed and picked up by border agents near Military Road and Sheridan Drive in the town of Tonawanda. All three were Mexican nationals who made it to Canada and were attempting to cross into the United States. These individuals are reportedly part of a group of 24 non-citizens who have crossed the International Railroad Bridge over the Niagara River in the last 60 days. Officials say illegal crossings are up this spring compared to last year. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. Police investigating a possible hate crime in Wayland, New York. A resident there, Eric Williams, recently received a threatening letter in the mail. It contained a graphic image of the Ku Klux Klan along with racial slurs.
When I saw that, all I could do was cry and explain to my daughter that she asked me, she said, "Daddy, why are you mad?" I said, "Daddy's not mad. Daddy's hurt."
Williams, who ran for mayor last year, says he's unfortunately been on the receiving end of racist attacks his entire life.
If you don't like black people, come and talk to me. Let me show you a different point of view. I'm a big man of faith. I'm a big man of prayer. And the only thing that I can do is to pray for that person. I don't know who it is, but obviously they are hurting in some type of way. They need love.
The letter is now in the possession of the Wayland police. A Pennsylvania politician wants to stop the brain drain and says the best way to do that is to eliminate the state's income tax. State Senator Greg Rothman says that tax has caused college kids and businesses to leave the Commonwealth for other states. In fact, the past 2 years, Pennsylvania has lost about 30,000 residents, according to the Census Bureau. New York Assemblyman Phil Palmisano calling on all residents of the Empire State to give the gift of life by becoming organ donors.
Right now in New York State, there are nearly 8,100 New Yorkers waiting for an organ transplant. 1,100 have been waiting for more than 5 years. We have 52 registries across this country. New York is number 50 out of 52. We're ahead of Puerto Rico and New Jersey.
The Corning Republican says a single person who donates at the time of their death can save 8 lives and impact the lives of 75 others. Now that is paying it forward. April, by the way, is Organ Donation Awareness Month. The Eastern Hills Church in Williamsville, New York, hosting a prayer and healing vigil tomorrow for Buffalo Bills and Sabres co-owner Kim Pegula. That service is from 3 to 4 p.m. Kim Pegula has been recovering out of the public limelight since suffering a cardiac arrest that nearly took her life at her Florida home last year. Operation Safe Stop continues in New York. Police will be out and about looking to enforce the law when it comes to driving around stopped school buses. Trooper Trevor Field.
When you're approaching a school bus and you see the yellow lights, that's just like a stoplight would be your indicator to slow down and prepare to stop. When the stop sign comes out, you have to stop. You should stop at least 20 feet from the school bus, no matter which direction you're coming from, whether you're behind it or approaching it from the front.
Every day in New York, 50,000 vehicles illegally pass stopped school buses. Let's talk sports next on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the New York Rangers are now in a win-or-go-home situation in their playoff series with the Devils. New Jersey shut out the Rangers last night 4-0 and now lead the series 3-2. Tampa Bay doubled up Toronto 4-2, so the Maple Leafs find themselves in the same predicament the Rangers are in, down 3-2. The Golden Knights, they're moving on. They knocked out Winnipeg 4-1 to win the series 4-1. To the NBA, the Boston Celtics have punched their ticket into the next round. The C's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum combined for 62 points to lead Boston to a 128-120 elimination of the Atlanta Hawks. Up next, a date with the Philadelphia 76ers. Baseball. Gerrit Cole remained unbeaten on the mound as the Yanks beat the Rangers 4-2. Cole went 6 2/3 innings, and he got run support home runs from LeMahieu, Torres, and Trevino. Elsewhere in the American League, Tampa Bay pummeled the White Sox 14-5. The Twins down the Royals 7-1. Detroit fell to Baltimore 7-4. And the Angels outlasted the A's 8-7. Over in the National League, the Pittsburgh Pirates continue to be the surprise of the league as they won their series against the Dodgers, winning the game last night 6-2. Connor Joe and Rodolfo Castro both hit home runs. Mitch Keller struck out 10 over 6 innings to get the win. The Mets snapped their 4-game losing streak behind an 8th-inning RBI triple from Jeff McNeil, and they edged the Nationals 9-8. Miami won by a run over Atlanta 5-4. The Cubs down the Padres 5-2. And the only interleague game saw the Phillies win a 1-0 decision over Seattle. Cody Clemens, an RBI single in the 2nd inning, and that was all the offense needed by the Phils. That is a look at sports.
All right, thank you, Randy. Still to come, weekend washout, Capital Connection, and National Superhero Day. You're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Mark Twain famously said that history doesn't repeat, but it often rhymes. And history rhymed recently when a Chinese church undertook a journey that resembled that of the pilgrims, first fleeing their own land for the sake of religious freedom and staying for a time in another country before finally finding sanctuary in America. The whole ordeal has earned the small congregation, which was formerly known as the Xinjiang Holy Reformed Church, the fitting name of the Mayflower Church. 4 years ago, the 60-plus members of the Xinjiang Fellowship fled their homes in communist China. Facing the increasing intolerance of Beijing authorities, not to mention the growing megalomania of Xi Jinping, the congregation was only left with one of two options, either flee or bend the knee. They chose the former, and to keep their faith. After first making their way to territory that belonged to South Korea, where they were denied asylum, they ended up in Bangkok, but only for a short time. The authorities there detained the community for violating their immigration visas, which put the refugees at risk of being returned to China. Well, providentially, and also due to the efforts of Christians in America, including U.S. congressmen, State Department officials, and the 2021 Colson Center Wilberforce Award winner Bob Fu and his organization China Aid, the Xinjiang Holy Reformed Church was granted asylum in the United States. While the story of the Xinjiang Holy Reformed Church had a happy ending, their plight and that of the persecuted church in China and around the world is far too common. The Early Rain Covenant Church is another Chinese congregation that's been forced to suffer under Beijing's growing intolerance of Christian groups. That church has hundreds of members that have repeatedly faced oppression and arrest by communist authorities. And, like the Mayflower Church, they've refused to join the state-approved and state-controlled National Church. Their refusal is not unlike that of the Hebrew Sons, who refused to bow before the statue placed by Babylonian Emperor Nebuchadnezzar. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they've learned the cost of faithfulness, as well as lessons that have united them in the sufferings of Christ and offer inspiration and encouragement to Christ Church worldwide. In fact, a recent book titled Faithful Disobedience, Writings on Church and State from a Chinese House Church Movement, is written by Early Rain's pastor, Wang Yi, and provides in-depth theological reflection on the relationship between Christians and the state, particularly when the state is oppressive. For Wang, these theological reflections are not hypothetical ones. In fact, even now, he's serving a prison sentence in his homeland for his godly defiance. Persecuted church bodies are not merely to be objects of our mercy and care, although they are. When they suffer, we do. They are our fellow laborers. They are members of the same body. We may not be able to share in their suffering physically, but we do have the honor of learning from their struggles. Our trials at present are not as extreme or dramatic as the ones that they face. However, the wisdom that they have to offer may very well be the insight we will need in the days ahead to face the challenges of our own times and the times that may soon come. Let us continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in China and around the world. Let's aid them however and whenever we can. And let's be grateful for the gifts of their hard-earned wisdom. To learn more about Bob Fu and the incredible work of his organization, China Aid, please visit ChinaAid.org. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Outside next, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. Our call for this afternoon, cloudy, rain overspreading the area where it has not yet done so, but not until the end of the day across central New York. Temperatures will climb a little bit more to the upper 50s or low 60s before dropping in the rain. Rain tonight and breezy, low temps 40s. Tomorrow the rain diminishes to showers, highs in the 50s. Sunday is cloudy, not much rain early, but the steady rain returns later in the day with a high temperature close to 60.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. It is Friday, folks, the 28th of April, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, as always, Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Gentlemen, so much to discuss, it'll make your head spin. We'll begin in Harrisburg, Michael, where lawmakers are set to take up House Bill 300. You've been talking about this for several days. It is making the rounds at the state capitol. You say this is dangerous for families, for businesses, for churches, and for women's spaces. How come?
Well, this bill was introduced just last week by State Representative Malcolm Kenyatta, an openly gay lawmaker from Philadelphia. And this bill would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the state human relations code, basically creating special classes of protection. But the significance of this are numerous in terms of religious liberty concerns, privacy concerns, etc. Notable about this bill is when it was introduced, it did include some limited religious freedom protection language in it. But on Monday, the Democrats on the committee voted to take that language out, making it even more dangerous. Christian schools and ministries could lose the right to exercise their convictions about human sexuality and employment and who they hire. Creative professionals could be forced to engage in messages that violate their conscience. Medical doctors, for example, could be forced to prescribe hormones or perform sex reassignment surgeries. Women's shelters could be forced to admit biological men who identify as women. And so that's why we are encouraging people to take action on House Bill 300.
Yeah, and I want to come back to that in a minute, Michael, but first, the New York State budget. The latest state budget in 13 years, how does that happen when one party controls everything in Albany?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because also we noticed that the tax receipts are up in the state of New York, meaning there's more money. And so there's a lot of things to fight over, not just the money, but also the amount of policy that is being packed into this budget. They're jamming everything into that budget. The problem with jamming policy in the budget is no New Yorker will know what is being done until after it is done. Once the bill is passed, then it will hit them and they will realize how much of their daily lives will be impacted by what's supposed to be a fiscal document, but really it's a policy document. So, for example, one of the things they're looking at is how to deal with these marijuana pot shops that are popping up all over the state. So that's one of the issues. The other thing is charter schools. schools. So we actually have a school choice issue that's popping up in this particular policy debate, and there are Democrats in the legislature that do not want to see any form of school choice expanded, and the governor, to her credit, is fighting to have charter schools opened up in some New York City areas.
Gotcha. We'll come back to the budget in a minute, but first, Michael, we're hearing that the vote on House Bill 300 may happen on Monday. Are you anticipating it will pass the House, which is now controlled by Democrats for the first time in over a decade, and what happens after that?
Well, it's very interesting because there's a Democrat majority in the House, and now it's looking like the possibility is that this bill might go down to defeat. It all depends on whether constituents of legislators all across our state communicate with their elected official between now and Monday when that vote is taking place. That's why we've set up on our website a special place where people can go and communicate with their lawmakers. If they go to pafamily.org/HB300, they can take action, and the citizen's voice is vitally important on this bill right now.
Gotcha. And Jason, talking about the spending plan, State Senator Tom O'Meara made the point yesterday. He said, hey, if you're talking about that much money, why not open this up for that 3-day wait period before you vote on any bills for the public to weigh in on this? Typically, is that how business is done in Albany?
Yeah, what a novel idea that we use what's called a message of necessity to move the bill immediately to the floor for a vote. Now, mind you, the budget is a month late. We have been waiting and waiting and waiting, but we can't wait 3 more days so the public can actually see what's in the state budget. Yeah, it should be given that 3-day aging process that Senator O'Meara refers to, but sadly, I think for political purposes, they will move it with a message of necessity, lest people see what's in it, and there be public outcry of what's actually in the budget.
Gotcha. Hey, primary day is fast approaching, Michael. May 16th, very important that people get out and vote. Pennsylvania's a closed primary. Only Republicans can vote and Democrats vote. 1.2 million independents are not allowed to vote. There's only 9 states, New York is one of them, that have closed primaries. Is it time, Michael, to open up the Pennsylvania primary?
I don't think it is. I think citizens have the opportunity to understand the way the process works here in Pennsylvania. The political parties choosing the candidates that they think best represent their values. The voters in the political parties doing that. And when you open it up to independents or anybody basically to vote in either primary, basically then you lose the ability to choose and make that difference between one party and another. So I like the closed primaries that we have here in Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, Jason, this has been in the news a lot, this abortifacient mifepristone. The Supreme Court ruled recently that it will continue to allow its use until this case goes to trial mid-May. This is going to go to trial, and we're going to talk more about this. But while this whole debate is going on, New York has taken action to ensure that this abortion kill pill is readily available at college. Explain what's happening here.
Yeah, this is legislation that has now passed both houses. It's going to the governor, where she's expected to sign it. The legislation would require State University of New York schools, so the SUNY schools and the CUNY, or the City University of New York schools, and community colleges across New York to provide abortivations to students. And if the schools cannot, for whatever reason, provide the abortivations, then they have to refer the students to someone who will. And so here you have these college students already in a vulnerable position, and the only option they're being given in facing this pregnancy is an abortifacient. It is immoral, but it is the stance of the state of New York and how we deal with beginning of life issues.
Guys, we have time for just one more round of questioning. Michael, Pennsylvania is one of just 4 states that has a full-time legislature. A guy by the name of Paul Schemmel, I think I'm saying his name right, Representative
yep.
Paul Schemmel, made news recently by saying, hey, maybe it's time we go part-time. And oh, by the way, why don't we slash lawmakers' salaries to $25,000 a year? Right now, they're over 6 figures, so I don't know how they'd respond to that. But do you think the representative is onto something here? Should Pennsylvania be, like New York is, a part-time legislature?
Well, it's interesting. Paul Schemmel is a good friend and a great legislator. I know that it's probably not popular with his colleagues that he talks about cutting their pay by more than 75%. But when you look at, for example, the state of Texas, which has a much larger population than Pennsylvania, has a part-time legislature that only meets every other year, and yet they're able to actually run things better than is the case here in Pennsylvania. I think he's on to something. Whether it actually can pass, though, is a big question that remains to be seen.
Yeah, when you start talking about politicians' salaries. It's like, okay, don't go there. We'll see what happens. Jason, there was more action this week to pass a medical aid in dying bill, also known as doctor-assisted suicide. Words matter, and you can see how they're trying to frame this debate. But where is this debate going this year in Albany, and why is it important that Christians remain opposed to doctor-assisted suicide?
Well, this is the eighth year that we have seen this particular piece of legislation moving in Albany, and we are at the stage of the game where those advocating for assisted suicide are trying to convince the public at large that this is inevitable. We've heard this now for eight different years. Each time, our organization and our allies, the New York Alliance Against Assisted Suicide, have been successful in blocking it. Now, there are more Democratic sponsors. Those numbers continue to grow, and that's why it is so vital that those who are opposed to assisted suicide contact their elected officials and remind them that assisted suicide is still suicide.
Yep, and in states where it's legal, the overall suicide rate is higher, so keep that in mind as well. Hey, gentlemen, that is all the time we have this week, but get informed. House Bill 300 in Pennsylvania. You need to know what's going on. If you want to contact your local representative on that, let them know how you feel. Michael, where can folks do that?
PAFamily.org.
And stay informed as the budget negotiations continue in Albany. Jason, where can people find out more?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Capital Connection, the name of the program, comes your way every Friday during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. An area of low pressure heading northeast from Kentucky is going to deliver rain to start the weekend. Another area of low pressure farther south and west will deliver another round of rain to end the weekend. And throughout it all, it's going to be on the cool side. Our call for this afternoon, cloudy, rain overspreading the area where it has not yet done so, but not until the end of the day across central New York. Temperatures will climb a little bit more to the upper 50s or low 60s before dropping in the rain. Rain tonight and breezy, low temps 40s. Tomorrow the rain diminishes to showers, highs in the 50s. Sunday is cloudy, not much rain early, but the steady rain returns later in the day with a high temperature close to 60.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Finally at noon, feeling 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Well, if you are, today's your day. It is National Superhero Day, and even if Superman is not your favorite superhero, you can still celebrate.
Superman was the first back in 1936. Now Marvel says there are 8,000 superheroes. Marvel has more than DC. About 27% are female. Wonder Woman was the first in 1941. The top 10 says teleportation is the number one desired power by mortals, followed by flight and invisibility. To celebrate today, you can read a comic book, watch a marathon of superhero movies, or just walk around with a cape on, because you can. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
All right, Bree, thank you very much. And just like that, we are out of time. That is Our World for Friday, the 28th of April. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.